Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about doing life with God. Now, not like a life sentence, not like prison. So just, you know, in case y'all were wondering, like, you got to do life, you know. Actually, it's about community. So you think about what, when you want to do life with somebody, you're involved with them. You are, there's a certain level of commitment that, you know, when you're going to do life with somebody, you're not just going to visit them or call them on occasion, but you're fellowshipping, you're involved. And so that's what we want to learn how to do life with God. And we've been learning, Pastor Wade's been teaching us the last few weeks. Well, actually, it's been quite a while. He's been talking about being selfish and all of that really comfortable stuff that we all love, learning all about, you know, finding little areas of our lives that we get to correct, and yay! But he's been talking about surrendering and yielding, not just in traffic, you know, because we know we have to do it when the sign is there. You got to yield. You know you got to do that. But what do we do in our lives? We have to yield to God. We don't have to. It could get messy. But he's constantly trying to draw us in so that we can learn how to yield ourself. Because how many of y'all know we can be selfish? Okay, I'll just talk to me. I can be selfish. And I want things the way I want them, the way I want them. So when we're having to learn how to yield, then that means we got to learn how to do life with God. Do it his way. So we stumbled over, well, I stumbled over the scripture that he was sharing in Romans 12. I was reading it in the Message, and it really struck a chord with me. If y'all don't know what the Message translation is, we tease and say it's the Bible with an attitude, because it kind of is, so. And there's those of us who kind of need that on occasion. So, but I loved how this starts out. So let's start reading in verse 1, Romans 12, verse 1. It says, so here's what I want you to do. And I love that part because it sounds like me. He's like, here's what I want you to do. I have to say this to Harrison all the time. I'm like, here's what I want you to do. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping. You're eating. You're going to work, and you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And I have to say, when you see that, you're walking around life, you think about what that is. You're going to work, that's covered, and then you're walking around life. What is that? That's all the stuff that we do in between, all the stuff. That's the doing the dishes. That's the doing the laundry. That's the doing the yard. That's the doing all of the stuff that we do. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take all of our life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And how many of us can do stuff without even thinking? I think about, you know, Pastor Wade talking about driving. I have been so guilty of that. You're driving in this, you go the same way every time, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, did I stop at that stop sign? I don't even remember going through the light. Oh my gosh. And so you're already like 4 miles down the road, and you're like, oh. You're like, okay, well, I'm going to just believe the best about myself and that I was obeying all of the rules and all of that. But we can just do things. And what it means is our mind isn't actively connected. We're on autopilot. We're doing things without giving a whole lot of thought to them. And so that's kind of what, you know, being in a rut of something, it can be that way. But also society, from even a very young age, society tries to tell us that as well. In the schools, they're going to tell you what to think. They're going to tell you how to do math. Grateful Common Core is now, not because I couldn't do Common Core. I looked at it and I was like, So we're grateful, you know, that in school we learn. We learn how to read. We learn how to write. Now, when we're reading, do we have to stop and do the phonetics while we're reading? No. We've gotten past all of that. So there's things, you know, that we can do now without having to think. So let's keep reading. It says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Changed from the inside out. Because we can modify behaviors for a little while. Say yes, ma'am. Say this. You know, we can do this. We can be cordial. We can do all of these things. But really, we don't want to just constantly be monitoring our actions and this and that, because it can be a bit robotic. Pastor Randy's daughter, Erica, she teases about herself all the time because she's really not a people person. She's more task. And so we tease her and we're like, you need to remember to say hello before you start. Hey, did you get that report? Beep, 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 because she's all about the task. And so she was like, I need a clipboard. And I was like, hello. How are you today? So we tease her. And so she's really, you know, had to work on consider the person, not just what they're doing for you. A lot of times we can monitor all of that outward stuff, but really we want it to just be natural when we walk in. We want it to be from the inside out. Amen? That's that effortless change. Think about Andrew Womack's teaching, and it's talking about renewing your mind. And it's talking about the more that we allow ourselves to be inundated with the word, it just starts coming out. And we have to spend time with it. Now let's continue reading. It says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. I'll read that again. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Y'all, I'm gonna be honest. I want my kids to readily recognize what I want, and I want them to respond quickly to it. Because you know what? There are days and days and days. I have to say the same thing. I gotta say the same thing. I'm like, didn't we just go over this? Don't jump on the couch. You said that yesterday. Well, I kind of mean it like for the rest of your life. You know, don't hit your sister with the hammer. Well, don't hit your brother back with it. Okay, it's Handy Manny toys, though, okay? Not like real hammers, and we don't do the, yes, these are just little plastic toys, just the little things. So, but still, I'm having to constantly, I need them to look at the mom face. Look at the face. Everybody know the mom stare? Oh, yeah. Now, Harrison, I'll tell you, he's been around a little bit longer. So he readily recognizes the warning. He readily recognizes, yeah, you're going to need to stop. Now, the babies, I call them babies. They're two, so but they're still little. So the littles haven't quite grasped the readily recognized look, you know, when we're looking, doing the little... So Shane, those of y'all who know, oh, that little smile, the little dimples. And so he gets his shoulders up and he's like. So he knows something is going on. And he's like, So he understands. But they still haven't grasped it yet. What they have grasped is when mama stands up, it's too late. It's too late. It is too late. Mama's up. And what does Shane do? Pew! He gone. He takes off. So, but we're learning. It's a process, right? This is a process, and it's all about being spiritually alert or spiritually dull, or we could even still be like in a carnal state where we're just learning, and so we may not recognize, which is much where the littles are. They're still having to kind of put some things together, like, okay, so she was doing that thing. Okay, so remember last time, I had to run from her. okay. It's like, so when we're in a process, there is a bit of a learning curve. There is, you know, so with Shane, I have to get up a couple of times an hour and help him and assist him. But when we think about it, you know, it's like with the neighbor that sits next to us, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, man. And they start writing notes down, and you're like, wait, what? What? I missed it. And we're like, because we weren't being spiritually alert. And so a lot of times we can just kind of work on our shopping list or whatever. Pastor Wade also calls it this. When he's got this feeling, he calls it, there's a disturbance in the force. And of course, I know what that means, you know, so we start praying because we need a little bit of direction. We might not be able to put our finger on it, but you're spiritually aware. Something's up, something's off, something. And so we spend some time in prayer about that. And, you know, when we think about when we're wanting to grow and get past where we are, we got to start picking up on the subtle cues. Harrison has learned how to pick up the subtle cues because now I really don't have to say anything. If I can get his attention, that is, let me clarify that. Harrison is, he's on the fast track. And he also really has no volume knob. It's loud and louder. It's my little prophet redemptive. We found out about that. So praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit is always knocking. Especially if we're fixing to leave the bathroom and he's like, hey, go check your business. Just go stand in the mirror, check yourself out. And you're like, I'm good, I gotta go, I'm in a hurry, whatever. And then you walk out, like, remember what I was saying the other week, and you got toilet paper stuck on the bottom of your shoe, and everybody's like, now everybody sees your business, and the Holy Spirit was like, hey, I'm trying to tell you that, don't leave, you know? So it's little things like that. It could be traffic, it could be a decision that we have to make or whatever. And the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to us, but we have to learn how to open and yield, right? That's what we're having to learn how to do this. And so I wanted to remind you, readily recognize what he's wanting from you, and then we need to quickly respond to it. Let's keep reading. It says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Have you ever seen somebody who is just acting like a fool, and then all of a sudden, then the person that they're like going after, then they start, you know, they're like, oh yeah, well, be-ba-ba-ba. That also happens in my house. Not between me and Pastor Wade, though. Just let me clarify that. That is, you know, with the kids. So, but when you see that, and they're starting to sink down lower and lower and lower, a lot of times, that's just the flesh. But society also kind of lends itself to this. The culture that we live in is all about self. Oh, I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to make sure you get yours, too. And society kind of teaches us this. If you're going to get anything, you better do it yourself. And society, especially in the banking industry, it can be kind of cutthroat. And I worked in the banking industry for a while in commercial lending. I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, can I just answer the phones? That's, you know, let me just do that. Let me take your phone calls because this is ugly. I mean, whoa. And it's all because of money. But that's really not God's culture at all. And what is culture? Let's talk about that. Culture is beliefs, customs, ways of life, a way of thinking, behaving, or working that exists in a place or organization, such as a business. Let's talk about Starbucks. They've got culture. I like Starbucks. I like their colors. I like their furniture. I like the way it smells. I like it. I like their culture. Chick-fil-A. Let's talk about them. Chick-fil-A. They've got a culture in there now, don't they? What's the last thing that they say to you? My pleasure. They got a culture of serving. They've got a culture of giving. Let's talk about Publix, where shopping is a pleasure. And it is. I cannot think of one time that I've had a bad experience in Publix, shopping there. Love it. Let's talk about Disney. Disney got a culture. I like Disney culture too. They are generous. They are kind. They are happy. And if you're not happy, you got to leave your unhappy out in the parking lot, because you got to be happy inside that park, because it's all about the experience, their culture. They want you to have a fantastic time while you're there. And they don't want you to see any of the ugly. They're constantly cleaning the bathrooms. They're constantly going around and cleaning and picking up whatever mess that we've left or dropped or whatever. They've got a culture there, and it's excellence. You know, let's talk about the culture at Walmart. Walmart has a culture, don't they? Well, we don't have to talk about it. We all know. We know. But their culture, we need to be focusing on today instead of Walmart's culture. And that's God's culture. In God's culture, the first thing we think of, the first thing I think of, is love. That's the first thing. He loves. He loves. He is love. And so when we read back where it says, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out, it made me think. It was like, you know what? We do need to be purposeful with our movements through the day. As we move through our day, there's going to be people that they may be the only Jesus that they get. You may have on the inside of you the word that they need, and they need it now. You need to be very aware that it's not just you. God has got an amazing gift on the inside of you, and it's not for you, it's for all of us. It's for us. And so when we think about being purposeful with our movement through the day, in God's culture, and that's going to be love. It's going to be helping one another, serving one another, honoring each other. And so we wonder, you know, what does that look like? Well, putting somebody's needs ahead of yours. When you become a parent, to me it was quite easy. Until it came to that last piece of chocolate cake. And Harrison was like, "Ooh, mommy." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I can let you have a bite of it." Or when Julie makes me a pumpkin pie, and then I find out that's his favorite pie now, and I'm like, hi, get your own and I have to share. But you know what? You find a place where, see, I can pay Julie to make another pot for me. It's okay. I can share. But it starts coming from the inside. Instead of hoarding, I have to have this for me. This is mine. With the fork, back up, you know? I may or may not have done that once before. But we think about, really, it's a culture that we need to allow. It's already inside of us. We just have to learn how to walk in it, amen? So, you know, when we think about helping each other and serving each other and honoring, that's giving God a little bit more room to bring out the best in us, amen? We need to give him some room and not be so locked in with our schedules are locked in with. I live with one of those that's got his schedule. I'm pretty sure he's probably told on himself about that before. Ooh, hey, let's go to the store. And he's like, there's none. I'm like, yeah, let's go right here. He's like, well, I can't shimmy that in to the, okay, between 5 and 5:30, we can go do this. So for him, and there's others, I'm sure there's more people like that out there somewhere, you know, that have trouble. yielding to something fun, you know, but anyway, just need to remember that not to be so exact with our day, but to let God move us through the day, amen? Because there might be, you might want to go over here, and he goes, actually, I need you to go over to Chipotle's today. And you're like, ooh, okay, thank you, Jesus, I'm going over there. But you know what? You may bump into somebody who really needs something. Could be in the parking lot, could be standing in the line. You just, you know, you need to allow that prompting some room. God needs room. Amen? All right. Well, we're going to keep reading. Verse 3. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you, and the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. And in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. And as I looked at this, it like was highlighted. And I was like, we need to be connected. We need to be connected. We can't just all just go and do whatever we want. God's got a purpose for putting the members in His body how He needs them. And what it does is it unlocks the gift inside of you. The body that we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. I love that, the function, because each of us have a function, amen? Each of us have that. And so that's where, once we're connected, we find our meaning, our function. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. And I was sharing with First Service that when Pastor Wade and I stepped into ministry, I thought that I was going to have to teach. I thought that I was going to have to do ministry a certain way. But I'm not built like that. Those aren't my gifts. And so I was speaking with Reverend Betty. Does anybody know Reverend Betty? Love her. And I was, you know, kind of sitting at her feet and just letting her pour into me. And she says, oh, honey, you're not a teacher. And I was like, okay, because I was like, whoo. That was such a relief to me. Because that's not something that comes natural. I can teach you stuff, but I'm not really good with the putting all of the 47 points and all the fancy schmancy words and all of that, you know. Then she tells me this. She was like, oh, honey. She said, you're a prophet evangelist. And I was like, oh, whoa, whoa. Hold up a minute. No, I'm really not comfortable with that. Don't like that. I tend to see an evangelist, you know, a bit old-fashioned, and that is with the, although I do have great hair. But you know what I'm saying? Like with the sweating and the screaming and being in the tent and all of that, and that's what I'm thinking when you say evangelist, and I'm like, I just don't know. Like if I can do that? Like, can we talk to Jesus and maybe I can get something else, you know? I want to put that one back. I don't really like that one. She said, honey, she goes, an evangelist is an encourager. One that brings good news. And I was like, oh, well, I do that almost every day. I can do that. I got that. I can do that. So I got excited. And so now it's like, I can begin to function in my gift. I can begin to function this way. And I'm like, well, I can do that. I can be comfortable now. Like, I can stand up here, and you guys know you're not going to be getting the 47 points and the, you know, all of that. I'm going to be bringing you encouragement. It's a breath of fresh air, you know? It's like, oh, it's good for my spirit. It's good for me. So we need to be okay with who God made us to be, embracing the gifts that He put on the inside of us and allow Him to mature them. And we do need to learn how to function in them. Amen? So we're going to keep on reading. It says, if you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. So if you're put in charge, don't manipulate. And if you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. And I started thinking, that's like our job descriptions. The preacher, the teacher, the encourager, you know, these are, this is how we do the Father's business. This is it. This is the gift that we need to go. We can help. We can give. These are the things. We need to be open and allow that gift to function through us. Amen. So I started thinking, I was like, being about the Father's business, which, you know, we all know that's what Jesus said when he stayed behind after everybody had left. And so when we start thinking about this, you know, we need to use the gifts that He gave us to get His business done. Amen? So it's not just coming and sitting in service on Sunday, is it? You're not using your gift right now. We're learning. This is something that just snapped in my head, and that was, oh, wait, so we're not using this. We're just, okay, so the Father's business isn't going to church. It's being the church. It's being the church. So that's how we're going to do this thing, being about the Father's business. That's how we're going to do this. And you know, He's assigned a job description for us. We think back. Every member in this church has got a function. And it's not just, you think about when you get a new job, and then sometimes you might get a uniform, but usually always you're going to have a name badge. And so I'm just going to tell you, that's really not what this is about, is getting a cute little name badge with your name on it. It's really not about that. This is going to be about the gift that we get to operate in. And who's the gift for? Everybody except you. It's for everybody. One of the gifts that I get to share with you, a little obvious here, worship. But more than that, my gift to you is that I want to take you on a journey with me. I want to show you. I want to show you places in the Lord that you haven't been there yet. I haven't been there yet. And I always want us to go deeper. I always want us to go into places we've never been before. And we get to do that together. I want you guys to know it's okay that you can and you should lift your hands in the sanctuary. I had y'all do it today because it was such a beautiful moment in worship. The Bible talks about it in Psalms. It says, we lift up our hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. We experience things in worship differently than we do in the Word. And there are places of joy. There's places of freedom. There is places of, when you experience Him one-on-one, it's deep. It's intense. It's where you truly can be changed in a moment. and it doesn't take but just you yielding, just surrendering in that place. And I want you guys to always know you are invited. Come with me. Don't just sing the words up there. Connect your heart to those words and begin to sing it right to Him. And before you know it, everyone has faded away and it's just you and Him. Yes. It's so good. And, you know, like with Pastor Wade, and of course he's like, yeah, but you're just bent that way. And I'm like, yeah, but. But everybody can still experience the Lord. And you know, you can feel it. Where you begin to be stirred in worship. And you're like, oh, so good. Step out and just lift your hands, close your eyes, and just surrender. And you're all of a sudden, like I said, it's just you and Him. Everyone fades to the back. Everyone. And it's just you and Him. And let Him love on you. He was really on that today. He was singing over you guys. It was so precious. He loves you so much. So I want us to keep going. In verse 9, it says, love from the center of who you are and don't fake it. Oh, let me stop right here. Let me back up because it's going to get a little in your face. So this is kind of, I told first service, this is where the rubber meets the road. So seatbelts on, chairs and tables in the upright positions, hands and feet inside all times. So it says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. And so how do we do that? Staying in the Word. Keeping ourselves built up. Praying in the Spirit. Making sure. Because how many of y'all know sometimes life can dictate and try to tell us, oh, we're up and we're running. You know, it's like, oh, come on, Jesus. Sometimes life can do that. You know, we have to be purposeful. We've got to be purposeful. So we have to stay fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. That's sometimes very difficult, being cheerfully expectant when you're having to wait and wait and wait. But be cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Also not very easy, but we can do it. Help needy Christians and be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. That's also something I say at the house on a regular occasion. And some of us need practical advice, right? So don't hit back. All of y'all know now, don't do that. Discover beauty in everyone. And I had to stop right there and I was thinking, discover. What is discover? Because I read over this so quickly and it was like, discover beauty in everyone. So what I was thinking was, oh, your hair looks lovely today, or oh, I like your shoes, or oh, I like this, or like, and I was like, hold on, it's not really what it's saying. You have to discover beauty in. And I was like, oh, okay, so challenge accepted. So how do we discover? We have to search. Sometimes we have to search really hard. If there's somebody who's not lovable, sometimes we have to search. We can do it, though. And it's like uncovering a secret about someone, and all of a sudden, You invest, you love, you serve, you honor. And before we know it, we have discovered something beautiful about this person. We've connected. Being open, being available, surrendering, yielding, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so I'll continue, and it says, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. And that prompted me to think about, well, first of all, after I rolled my eyes about that, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Because there's some days, sometimes it's hard to get along with everybody. And there are some days I don't want to get along with everybody. You just be honest. As life, when it's not handed to you on your terms, sometimes there are those of us who can get an attitude about it. Not me, but I've heard that there are people that act like that. And so what it reminded me of was Philippians 4:13, because immediately it says, if you've got it in you, get along with everybody. And so it's like, well, you said if, so, and I know it's not there, so I can't. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do some things. The things I want to do, it says all, right? I wanted to say some things. Did he leave that up there? Okay. He did not. Okay, because I have that. I have some things, and then I had to cross it out. But it says all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, if it's in there, he says it is. When we're weak, he is. So, we don't have to rely on our own strength, our own love. We don't have to rely on our own whatever it would be. We have him. We have him to help us. And we know all we have to say, Jesus. And he is ever, ever ready. Holy Spirit, I can't tell you how many times I'm just like, I'll be banging my head on the table. Holy Spirit, please, please. I need help. He's there. Every time, without fail, he helps me. And keeping our eyes on him. So let's continue. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. You get the best of evil by doing good. And let's face it, learning to live life with others can, like I said, it can have some challenges. We can be selfish. We can hold people to our own agendas and get upset when people don't do what we think that they should. I had a family member, it's not my dad. I was just so angry because they had done something again. And so I was talking with Pastor Heather, and she had asked me about it. And so immediately it was just like, oh, I'm so frustrated because da 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 da. So I'm going on. And she was like, Julie, she interrupted me. And she was like, Julie, this is foolishness. And I was like, hold on, I didn't even get to the best part yet. Hold on a minute. You didn't even hear. She was like, it's foolishness. And I was like, why do you say this to me? And she was like, Julie, you are holding this person to your own agenda. And I was like, what? What? She goes, you are expecting them to behave like you would in this instance. And I was like, she goes, and clearly, they're just being them. This is the way they've always been. Why are you putting an expectation on them that is clearly unrealistic? And I was like, what? Well, when you say it like that, it is foolish. Oh. But I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. It was all internal. And I did not recognize that that's actually what I was doing. I was being selfish and wanting them to act a certain way. And I had never even voiced that. I had never even said, hey, when you do this, it really makes me frustrated. I need you to stop doing this. And I'd never said that. Well, and of course, with this situation, it wouldn't have mattered. It would have probably done it even more. So, but what it did was it exposed something in my heart. It exposed something, a level of selfishness. I have to say, you know, I was a little disappointed because I thought I had a clean heart in this, for instance, you know. And once I learned that about myself and learned that living life with people, I'm not going to get everything on my terms. And this was a little difficult to take because I want everybody to do what I want them to, the way I want them to, how I want them to, when I want them to. It's what I like. It works for me really well. I like that. And then you start learning, yeah, but people are different. Well, clearly I understand this. But still, they could do it the way that I want them to. Like putting the dishes away and putting the silverware in the drawer the right way. You know, I want them all to go, you know how you when you open the drawer and you want all the forks to be like stacked together and really nice? See, okay, moms, all right, I see. A lot of moms and you're like, see, I told you. And then when I have help, it may not look the way I want it to. So instead of me, because I can show somebody, we can go over this and show them. But really what I need to remember is they did something for me. When we go back over this, don't burn out. Be cheerful. Don't quit. You got to pray more. Be-ba-be-ba-ba-ba-ba. What we're talking about, it's not a checklist. This is a heart adjustment. And so clearly we go from somebody being a blessing and putting the dishes away. And instead of me going and saying, hey, I need you to do it like this. It needs to be a hug and thank you. Thank you. It's a heart adjustment. Instead of being selfish and having to have it my way, it's a heart adjustment. It's yielding. It's surrendering. The yielding of our way of having to have it. And learning how to respond in a different way. And before long, it's just who we are. We need to keep our eyes on Him. Keep our eyes on Him and allow Him to make those changes. Amen. You know, when I was learning the piano and I learned basic chords, I had a friend of mine come and tell me. She was like, "Ooh, I got to share this with you. It's called inversions. You can do this." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, wait, but what?" She was like, "Inversions, it's really easy. Here, do like this." And so I made the chord, and she was, okay, but now you can make the chord like this, and you can make it like that. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. A chord is 1-3-5. You're telling me 3-5-1 or 5-1-3? What is this madness that you have shown me? And I tell you, it was so hard trying to unlearn the 1-3-5 and having to learn how to play a different way. My mind had to really work at learning something new. But now it's the only way I play. Because now I've learned everything is in my hands right here within my shoulders. I don't have to go all the way like this just to make a chord up and down the scale. With the inversions, everything is just right here. And I was like, oh. And it's much like with the Lord. Instead of doing the things that we've done, which can be quite hard, it can be challenging and whatnot, but when we yield, when we surrender, it can get really easy. Amen? It can get really easy. Tony and I were talking one day. She had asked me when I was her age, if I had had the, you know, a challenge or this, that, the other, and I told her, well, you know, I was a lot different when I was younger. And she was like, oh, like how? So I began to tell her, and I described a person to her that is a complete departure of who I am today. One that was quite mean and called a spade, and would say it to your face and not hesitate, whether it hurt your feelings or not. More than 9 times out of 10, I would say probably like 100% of the time, I would offend someone with that lovely mouth of mine. And my dad was laughing. Y'all, he was laughing in first service. I'm like, Daddy, don't be okay. When Pastor Wade, he was so sweet, he went to my daddy and asked for my hand in marriage, and my dad started laughing. And was laughing in first service, too, like loud. I'm like, way to bring it home. But here it goes. Not the same person. I had somebody bring to me this book called Personality Plus. Had I known what it was, I would have probably just pushed the book right back and I don't want your book. But within that book, I found a really ugly person that was not allowing the Lord any room. One that was extremely selfish, self-centered, and really never gave any consideration to anyone else. And so I began to realize that there's a process that I was going to have to enter into. It was painful. I didn't like it, much like the cords, you know, and I'm like, ugh, because you have to stop. You have to be really, really diligent at stopping, okay? Much like Erica with her clipboard. Hello. Before long, with the Lord's help, giving him room, I'm a much different person than I was. When we begin to look at that, isn't that where we all need to be, is in a place where we can look back and say, I'm not who I was, and that's where I want to be. We're always growing. We're always in a process. It never stops. And that's the beautiful thing with the Lord, that he will continue to draw you up to deeper places, higher places. He'll take you farther than you ever thought was possible. Amen. With God, we can do all things, because he's the one that gives us everything that we need. I love when Pastor Wade says this, you know, it's an open book test. You know, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden. He makes it easy for us. Amen. Well, I hope that you guys have got something good out of this today. Amen. Amen. Thank you.